I'm Christian Abbott.
I'm Nathan Lavender.
I'm Sean Abbott.
And this is the Red Mist Podcast.
Hello, welcome to the Red Mist Podcast, Season 4, Episode 33. And it's not the Larry Bird special.
Well, what special is it?
And it's not NASCAR. Very exciting. Mm-hmm. 1980, Bob Sharp Racing, Datsun 280 ZX, IMSA GTX spec, turbo. V8.
That's not what I was thinking you were going to do, but that is very, very acceptable. No yep. Issues with that either.
Yep. Car weighed 2,500 pounds, 903 brake horsepower. Did a 52.42 lap time at Lime Rock.
No chicane.
No. No chicane.
The traditional layout.
Yeah. Yep. I believe the car is now owned by Adam Carolla. I'm pretty certain it is. Because he owns a bunch of Bob Sharp and Paul Newman race cars. Pretty cool. All right. On tonight's episode, we'll talk NASCAR in Las Vegas. Hooray. And then we'll move on to the world of sports car racing this weekend and supercar racing, which really just put NASCAR racing to shame. And in some aspects, put Formula One to shame.
There was plenty of racing going on that.
Yep. Two fantastic races. Petit Le Mans, 10 hours, into the dark. Fantastic finish. A couple surprising results. But overall, a wham-bam race from the get-go. 10 hours of just pure entertainment. Mm-hmm. On a great track, too. And then we'll go down under to the great race, which lived up to its name.
I didn't watch a lot of that race because I also couldn't find really any streams of it. So
I think you needed a VPN.
Well, even with that, I think it was still blocked. I couldn't.
Yeah, it's a. I know. I was able to.
Oh, you found it on YouTube?
Well, I got highlights.
Oh, just the highlights. Okay. Right. Yeah.
I watched the extended highlights yesterday. And then, because the end of the race was so fantastic, I found the highlights for the last 10 laps.
Oh, perfect.
Wow. Yeah. Anyways, 6 hours on the hill from dry to wet. I shouldn't say the hill, the mountain. But holy crap, what a race. All right, let's start. NASCAR, Denny Hamlin with the win. His 60th. Congrats, Denny. That's all I got to say. Larson was second. Bell, Briscoe, Tyler Reddick, Logano, Bowman, Busch, Priest, and Nate's guy, Bad Brad, finished with a top 10 finish. Doesn't do Bad Brad any luck, but hey. Mm-hmm. Let's just take a quick look at the points. It was not an elimination race. But that's all I got to say about it. It was about as exciting as watching mud. And it started at 4 o'clock. So I was like, yeah, that's 4 o'clock Eastern. I'm going to be watching football.
That's prime Prime football.
Yeah. So right now,
I mean, I guess that's a fair argument for, you know, why IndyCar doesn't go into this late in this end of the year.
Yeah, I guess, but whatever. Only NASCAR would decide that it's a good idea to go up at 4 o'clock against the primetime games.
Yeah. I mean, at least with IndyCar, it's like you could do the race at noon and catch everyone's attention for a little bit before you get into it.
Yep. You got 2 hours and you're over at halftime of the 1 o'clock games.
Exactly.
all right, just real quick. It's Hamlin, Larson, Bell, Briscoe. Those are your top four. Byron, Chase Elliott, Logano, and Ryan Blaney, who got absolutely destroyed in a wreck, are your below the things. The elimination will happen after Martinsville, so hopefully we'll have a Ross Chase Chain moment there. Looking forward to that.
I don't think you will. I think they've outlawed that.
Why not? We can't? All right.
Yeah, it's outlawed.
Where are we at? No more fun? Mm-hmm. All right. Next up, thank God. Well, no. Well, they go to Talladega.
You know, I actually did. I don't know why I was looking at the NASCAR schedule, but I was this past week, and it actually surprised me how many tracks are on the schedule twice.
Yeah.
Which I just kind of like beg the question of like, why?
And
I mean, if that's always been the case, like sure, no, like no problem, like whatever, but it just seems odd with the amount of ovals that we have in the U.S. that you need to still go back to some tracks twice.
Well, and some that you used to go to twice, they only go to once, like New Hampshire.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, and then they don't even go to some other races, like they don't go to Milwaukee.
They don't go to Pocono.
That's right. Okay.
I'm just scrolling through the schedule right now.
No. They do go to Pocono.
Oh, yeah, they do. Sorry. Yeah. Once. Yeah.
IndyCar doesn't go to Pocono.
Yeah, IndyCar doesn't. All right. And then we go to New Hampshire once. Yeah, it's exciting. It's like mud. All right. That's where we're at. We go to Talladega, then we go to Martinsville, and then it's the final for the four or whatever. Anyways, thank God the season will be over. Can't take it anymore. All right. That's enough NASCAR talk. Don't have Nate here. All right. Let's talk. Should we talk? We want to talk supercars first?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean,
all right.
Didn't watch. Oh, okay. I just saw some clips on Instagram
now,
as I was.
I'm just gonna flat out tell people. This is 6 hours on Mount Panorama. This track is insane. Okay. And you're not exactly driving nibble GTP cars around this place.
They're
literally.
I wouldn't
better
use,
cars.
I wouldn't use a GT. Better, car GT3 GT3 is a bit easier to handle, but I mean
so these are like a hybrid car. They're in between a GT3 car and a NASCAR car. That's the best way to describe it. And holy crap, what a race. I mean, it's I personally I love this race. The fans are like nuts. It's just a great race. It is the great race.
It is.
161 laps around the track, 1,000 kilometers.
Yeah, the clips of the race that I saw. I mean, they were doing side by side in the wet, a couple dive bombs here and there, but like all super clean.
Clean.
I mean,
yep.
You know, a little bit. A little bit of rubbing here and there, but like nothing.
Yeah,
nothing terrible.
So what did The race came down to really about the last 15 laps. It came down to three drivers and, well, it was actually, yeah, four drivers. Well, three drivers, but there was one cagey veteran that was hanging back in fourth place. We'll get to him in a second. But Matthew Payne, James Golden, and Cooper Murray, for 3 hours. So basically, this is even better. The drivers pretty much go half the race. So they drive half. The first, you know, two drivers. First guy goes 3 hours. Second guy goes 3 hours. They don't jump bailing in and out of, you know, every pit stop and stuff. So kind of cool. So Payne, Golding, and Murray for 3 hours. We're going at it. And then the rain came. And they were in the rain. Cooper Murray was controlling the race. Jim Golding was right on him. I mean, these kids are like, no joke, I don't think they range from age 23 to 25. It was sick. These kids were nuts. And the car control was amazing. They were going, what was complicating it even more, besides the rain, at the top of the mountain, as you go across with the Conrad Strait at the top.
I think so.
What do they call it, the cutting?
The cutting is
before it,
is
right?
The final turn onto the long back straight, where you come down.
I thought that was a dipper.
Okay, then the cutting's the first hairpin going up the mountain.
Leading up to it. Okay. Yeah. So from that point up, literally, the cloud cover came in.
Yeah.
They were like, some laps be perfectly, you know, they could, you know, in the rain, they could see. There were other laps that the clouds, like, you couldn't see. Oh, you couldn't even see the taillights. Mm. And these guys are just bombing through there. And it was crazy. And the crowd was going nuts. Because mm-hmm. you hear him on the mics. It was awesome. And then with five laps to go, they come by the front straight, make the first corner, and then they shoot up the straight to head up to the hill. And Golden got on the inside. Now, I thought this was a 50-50 deal, but he got to his driver's door, and then Murray moved down, who was leading. And tried to take the corner, and of course Murray got spun out, saved it somehow, got back into the race, and then Payne took the lead, and just he went, and then of course all of a sudden out of nowhere here comes the cagey veteran Dave Reynolds, who was lurking waiting for these three kids to like kind of get into it and snipe the win. So he came through. Golden came back and came back to third, but then got a 5 second penalty. So what he tried to do was he went from third to first to try and build a 5 second gap, but he never got there. He needed like three laps, and he could have done it. But anyway, so on the penalty adjusted, Matt Payne, who finished second on the road, took the win. Dave Reynolds was third. James Golden was rebounded to finish third, and Cooper Murray was fourth. Crazy. Absolutely crazy.
Well, and I mean, one of the highlights of the race was, there was two that I saw. One was...
I know which one you're going to talk about.
The first one was the kangaroo, the near miss.
The kangaroo.
That was insane.
So just so people know, kangaroos do go bombing across the track. And it's in the Bell Bathurst 12 hours, some have come in contact with a Ferrari or two.
Yeah, some kangaroos have jumped, have seen...
Over cars?
Have jumped higher than others.
Yes.
We'll leave it at that.
Some have gotten just clipped. The kangaroo was, that was exciting.
He threaded a needle, too, on that one.
He did. And I don't think the drivers even lifted.
No. But the other moment that
the highlight.
Yeah, the highlight.
Right. And this was actually seen earlier this year, I believe, in IndyCar racing at Road America. Something similar.
Yeah. Who was the driver?
Chaz Mosser.
Mosser, yeah.
Chazzy.
He's out of the race on the top of the.
And he drives for, I think, is it still Andretti Walkinshare? Or Andretti United? I don't know. Anyways.
Not sure.
His car broke.
Gets out of the car.
And he had to park it.
Goes over the
wall.
And
he had to park it.
Yes. And he gets.
Never made it back to the pits.
Yeah, he's still up on top of the mountain.
Yep.
Gets out of the car. Hops over the
fans find him.
The wall of the fence and is walking with the fans.
And the friendly Australian fans.
Yes. And
yes.
No sooner can the commentators get the words out of their mouth, he's handed a beer. To which he promptly opens and sits down and hangs out with them.
Hangs out with them. As they like to say over in Australia, he popped a tinny.
Yeah.
This kind of harkens back to one of our favorite IndyCar drivers, Santino Ferrucci, who post-race at Road America, in blazing heat, went over to get a bottle of water and was subsequently thrown a beer that he duly popped and drank. So no issue. Guy's not driving. Car's done. Why not sit back and enjoy the race?
I mean, I think it was the water brand Miller Lite, maybe. But who knows?
That Santino had.
Yeah.
Not in Australia. That was definitely a real beer. That was not a light beer. I don't know what brand it was, but it was. It was hilarious.
Wasn't a Foster's.
So, it wasn't a Foster's. It wasn't an oil can. No. That's for sure. I didn't mind. It might have been a VB, Victoria's Bitters or something. But anyways, he sat down and had it. It was pretty. And he acknowledged the fans too.
That's just a good
proper
good fun of the sport. Yeah.
Yeah, I have no issue with that. Like to see that more often.
Yeah.
It wasn't like he was going to get back in the car.
Exactly.
So that just rolled right into after Petit Le Mans.
Yeah. Which at that point, like, the race had been going along great. I mean, there was plenty of action throughout the whole thing. I mean, they didn't even make it a lap before the yellow came out in Petit.
Which race are we talking about?
The Petit Le Mans.
Oh, well, are we segueing into that?
Yeah, you got anything else to say about the bad
news? No. That's it.
Yeah.
Anyways.
All
right. Oh, no way. Oh.
Ugh. You have something you want to share?
Yeah, I just looked at their they actually have an elimination table.
Who?
In supercar racing.
Oh, like a playoff thing, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that's new for this year.
Yeah, well, it should be outlawed. Okay.
All
right, doesn't take away from the great race, anyways.
No.
At least there was no stage racing. All right.
Exactly.
All right, let's go to Petit Le Mans.
Yeah.
28th running. I can't believe it's 28 of these.
Yeah. I am, this is one rare thing that I can say, is I'm actually older than this event.
Yeah. Huh? Oh yeah, you're 29, right? Jesus. Yeah, look at that.
No.
Huh?
No, this
is the 28th running.
sure it was the 28th? I thought it was the 27th.
Yeah. No, 28th.
I'm not 29. I'm 28.
You're 28.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That would make...
28th Petit Le Mans. Moto Petit Le Mans. No?
Its first race was in 98.
Yeah, but I think it canceled 1 year.
No, but I would still be older than it. Anyways, all right, we've tried that on this anyways. Point.
Well, whatever. You're tied or whatever, same age.
Whatever. yeah, first lap, a couple of GT cars were out.
Couple.
Yeah. It wasn't the Dragon Speed Ferrari. It was the other Ferrari that's in a white scheme.
Was it Taurasi? No.
Yeah, it might have been.
Hold on.
Anyways,
I got it. Hold on. Coming down.
They got up.
It was the Inception.
Yeah, the Inception one was out.
Ferrari.
That's the one that got out.
That's the one that started the whole mess.
No. No, the Inception Ferrari was the number 70 that went to go.
That got caught up in it.
That was the first car that hit the other one head on.
I got it. It was the Conquest Ferrari.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. That's right. Yeah, because this Ferrari had a. Had a funny little bullet list of points where it was it created havoc on lap one. They fixed it up, went back out, and then they took out the leader in one of the
classes. That was the Chetelar car.
Oh, that was a Chetelar. Oh.
Chetelar car. The Conquest car was the one that started the whole mess. And it so the four cars went out. It was the Chetelar car. The Gradient Mustang with Joey Han was behind in the wheel. Magnus was out, and the Inception Ferrari was out. I thought a McLaren was out. No, it was the Inception. Yeah, it was wow. Yeah, that was a mess.
Yeah,
I thought. I think Inception's a Ferrari.
It is a Ferrari.
Oh, I thought Inception was... I thought they were running a McLaren.
They were. Not anymore.
Oh, not anymore. Was anyone running a McLaren?
Inception was. Pfaff did.
But Pfaff ran a McLaren?
Yeah, before they went to the Lamborghini.
No, I mean in this race.
In this race, no.
There's no
McLaren running here stateside.
All right. Okay.
So.
All right. Yeah, that was crummy. That was like the ugh.
Yeah.
And then we went through a string of like debris on the track stuff.
Yeah.
It finally sorted out like after hour two.
Yeah.
Seemed like.
Yeah, because there was only. One caution in the last 6 hours, I think.
Yes, that's correct.
Because they went because
everybody was playing for it.
Yeah, it seemed like it was all it just went on for a long time before yellow got tossed.
Yeah. No, 100%.
Which was great. I mean, being able to navigate that track and not have an incident for that long is.
Yeah, especially when it goes to nighttime there.
Yeah. Yep.
Although Rexy did go, Rexy went for a ride.
Oh yeah. Yeah, that was bad.
Yeah. I thought when they showed the car off and then they realized who it was, and they showed like a shadow in back of it, I thought he hit a signboard. And that's what went popping up in the air. No, that was the entire rear section of the car.
Yeah.
Like, oh. Wow. That was nuts.
Yeah, that was bad.
Although they got livery of the weekend.
Yes. Yep. I mean, not that they didn't already have claimed that to begin with, but
claim. Yeah.
They stepped it up a notch with their Halloween themed
cars,
bones.
Skeleton cars.
Yeah, skeleton cars.
I also enjoyed their cyborg guides wearing the scream mask.
Yes.
That was awesome.
Mm-hmm.
All for that.
Marketing is at an all-time high for that team.
Yes. Love it. Fantastic. Good stuff.
Yeah. I mean, the battle of the race had to be the overall lead in my mind.
All race long.
Yeah, pretty much. and it was really interesting to watch the strategies unfold, especially towards the end. Although knowing with the last few years with a caution coming out sometime with, like, you know, 2 hours to go or whatever. I always put my money on whoever's fastest at night practice leading up to the race, because that's where you end the race, and more than likely you're gonna have everyone stacked up ready to go. And the Aston out of all the cars was on it in that final practice leading
the Valkyrie.
Yeah, the Valkyrie.
Led
the last practice into the night, and sure enough, when it came around that time during the race, it was flying. And it did a really great job during the entire race to have the pace to be able to stay with the front on merit. Great to see.
Yeah, they've really made strides with that car. Mm-hmm. The other car in GTP that was exciting was the Lamborghini.
Yeah. Yeah, it was it's just too bad that the program is not continuing, at least for now.
Well, yeah. There is some speculation out there.
Oh.
We'll get to it after this.
All right.
So go ahead.
I guess the only thing that I'll say is first off, the way the race ended, great ending, and it was really interesting to see the strategies play out in the last hour. For guys that have been watching the race and having to commentate on the race, my only criticism was it seemed like these guys that watch these cars throughout the whole year and have to pay attention really closely to these things, it didn't seem like they could do quick math on the fly to know what a stint length was. Because even just sitting there, with 2 hours to go, you could tell it was going to be close on whether they needed to do a splash and dash at the end. And I was, it was clear that the Aston was not going to be able to stretch it, which was fine because you could see that they had committed to it with the pace that they were trying to run, and the others were not. So it was just a question of when did the other teams forego the saving strategy and just sprint to the end. I was, when as soon as the pit window opened, the Aston was in for its final pit stop, which in IMSA you got to do it. So for the next 30-35 minutes until the Cadillac and the Porsche pit, I was really just on the edge, because that's the time of the race where everyone's pushing there's no more like I'm just gonna, you know, let this GT car go by or let this GT car do its thing and then I'll pass it the next straight. It's like, no, I gotta make the pass now. Like it's we're no more no more Mr. Nice Guy or anything like that. You gotta get stuff done to get the gap down. And like you said earlier, very surprised there was no yellows. It was great to see everything play out the way it did. The Aston was able to get the jump on the Porsche through the pit cycles on just on pace, which was great, and it closed the gap down to the Cadillac, which was even better to watch. But just too little, too late at that point. And I mean, it's not like the Whelen Cadillac was slow either. I mean, they did a great job running the pace that they did, and they were able to come home with the win.
Yep.
Aston finished P2, and then the Penske Porsche finished third. All this said, everyone was losing their mind on the commentators about, oh, like the Lamborghini could get third, and I mean it was there for a bit, but it was off sequence by quite a bit where it just or no no I'm sorry it needed to have fuel saved a little bit more as it went on. And if it could have stretched it another two or three laps, I think it would have done it, which would have been very impressive if they were able to pull off something like that.
Yeah.
But, yeah. And at one point during the race, it was six different manufacturers in the top six. Which, I know there's only six manufacturers in the race to begin with.
But they were all in the top. They were
yeah,
all,
they there were was all representation all in the top six. I was like, that was very cool. Yep. And again, pace was there throughout all of them. Like, that was awesome to see.
Another thing I'd like to say, a couple of folks I thought were thought that stood out in the race. In LMP2, I thought Logan Sargeant did a great job.
Mm-hmm.
And in GTP, in his first sports car race ever, Max Esterson.
Yeah, that was great.
They finished 12th, but he was in the top four during most of his stint. And he was holding his own with the Penske guys.
Yeah, it. I don't think it was most of the stint, but it was for a good portion of his stint. He was up there. So, but yeah, I mean, nevertheless, I mean, was able to run up there competitively.
Yeah, it was awesome.
I missed how they got aside from just pace. I missed how they shuffled down the order as much as they did.
I think they had an incident.
Okay.
But they rebounded, but you know, they never were able to get it back, you know, up.
Yeah.
So
oh yeah, the GT class doesn't disappoint.
No,
that good racing up and down through there.
Yeah, it was that was a ding dong battle actually. It was like the two Corvettes, the BMW, and the Toro. For the longest time, and then there was a Ferrari that was in that mix. I think it was the Dragon Speed car.
Yeah, Dragon Speed
was in that, and then it fell back, and then it was Paul Miller took the win. The Corvettes were second and third, and with the third place finish, Alexander Sims and Antonio Garcia clinched the driver's title.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe Corvette, did they win the manufacturer's title as well?
Yep. And the
yep.
The team's
the GTD Pro.
Yep.
Yeah. GTD Pro. In the GTD class, congratulations to Lilu Wadu, who became the first woman winner in quite a while. Trying to think who the last woman was that won here.
Probably Christina Nielsen.
And it was back. It could have been. It was back in the like the LMS days. Not the reunited days.
Oh, then maybe not her.
I don't know. Anyways, she and her teammates did a fantastic job in the EF course of Ferrari.
Yeah.
Taurasi finished second. Penton Cook in that car with James Collado. That's not much of a stacked lineup. And then we had the Lexus, the GTD Lexus, and then the Harder Racing Aston Martin. So and LMP2, the winners were, here they are, TDS Racing, Hunter McElroy, Stephen Thomas, and Mikael Jensen. That's good because they got hosed in qualifying. Some obscure rule. Car was under mass. Not underweight, but under mass. Whatever that means. Never heard that before.
All right.
The Interpol guys were second. And then Aero Motorsports with Ollie Jarvis and David Hannemeyer-Hassan were third.
Yeah.
With Logan Sargeant finishing fourth. So that was.
It's a good effort.
Just a, yeah, awesome way to end the season. It was a great race. Mm-hmm. No weather. They actually had to stop people from coming in. Pretty crazy. Which prompted Road Atlanta to put out a thing this year, today, to say that they're looking at next year as to what they can do to accommodate people. Oh, man. Wow. Just imagine that. The walk-up sales were crazy.
Yeah. They've really done a good job at selling out tickets.
You know, I think the biggest bummer is takeaway that Lamborghini showed strength this year.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and now it's gone. But is it? There's a certain team that was fielding BMWs.
All right.
And there's been a rumor floating around that they could be going down to GTD,
mm-hmm.
and with a Lambo or possibly a McLaren. But then there's been another rumor flying around that they might want to, especially with the progress that the car made, they may want to take over that program.
Hmm.
It would be solely an IMSA program. I think what it would be they'd run that car plus possibly two GTD Lambos. Mm-hmm. Possibly. So, who knows? Stay tuned on that. Any insight, Christian, as to whether or not Aston Martin will be here with two cars next year?
I wish. but if they just want to keep running the one car, that's fine with me. And also, it's fine with IMSA because you don't have to run two cars to
right.
be in the top category. So,
yeah, that's true.
I'm thankful for the one because... like a few of the guys were mentioning on the broadcast, we had 12 GTPs this race, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And, you know, only a few years ago, you could have dreamt to have a field of 12 cars.
That's true.
Top level classes of only, you know, less than a handful. So it's even with the news of, you know, Porsche leaving WEC going into this past weekend, I think it's still a good reminder to be grateful for the amount of teams and cars that are still involved within the top level, and that they're still trying to look towards a more simplified rule set to really have this convergence be more of a convergence where you can truly go in between racing series with even less of a hassle than what it is now. And I know I have gotten impatient over this a couple of times, but I mean, like, it is the step that needs to go forward in my mind. Like, it just makes sense if you're going to have big regional series and then your top WEC series to be able to feed into for not only certain teams if they want to do that, but also when you do have invitations for Le Mans itself.
Right.
So.
Yep. Oh, that's good.
Yeah.
You know, but it's gonna be exciting. I think next year looking good. Almost 60 cars for Daytona already.
Yeah, they said that I'm sure they already have their full entry list. I don't think they've released it all yet.
Yeah, there's a couple teams that are still finishing up details that IMSA has given them a grace period on to get taken care of.
but they already mentioned in the last hour of the broadcast that they had somewhere of like 80, over 80 cars enter.
Yeah.
For that race, and even for maybe not quite 80 for the entire season, but there was still more than what they've had.
Oversubscribed, as they like to say.
Yeah, so they've had to turn teams away. So that's it's a very, very good problem.
Very interesting, though.
Yeah.
For three cars, for the Michelin Endurance Cup, Manti is coming.
Yeah.
Yeah. With the Grillo Porsche. So that'll be exciting.
That's awesome.
So is that like a precursor that they might come here full time?
The more, the merrier. And
yes,
I think at this point, come get your feet wet, try it out. If you like it, stay. If it's not for you, that's fine too. But like, just gets back to it. Very grateful for the attraction that IMSA is able to provide to other teams out there that want to come race here in the States.
Right.
Or in North America. Sorry.
Yeah. So it'd be interesting. Looking forward to next year.
Yeah.
All right. Let's delve into some news. We have another race, another endurance race this weekend. We have the 8 hours of Indy.
Yeah. Yep, with a interesting guest that was announced to be driving.
Yeah, hold on a second. I'm trying to find that...
the full lineup.
Hold on. Here it is. I got the finalized. There it is. you're talking hold on. Where is he?
He's from From Toowoomba.
Toowoomba.
It's Will Power.
Oh, great. Oh, yeah. Well, guess who he's driving with?
I can't remember, but I know it's... Isn't it like two-factory guys?
Kenny Hibble.
Oh, that's...
Kenny Hibble.
Okay, yep.
Yeah, which is awesome. I love Kenny. Yep. He's like the Australian that loves living in the United States. But he has a house on the straight at the downhill at Bathurst.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah. And their other driver, one Chaz Mossert.
Oh, jeez. All right, yep.
So him and Will be having some beers.
Yeah.
I'm all in on that. Welcome to Random Vandals Racing, one Connor Daly.
Oh, that's awesome.
He's going to be running with Connor DeFilippi and Kenton Cook. Ooh, that's a pretty good lineup.
Yeah.
Yikes. There is some stacked lineups in this.
Well,
Holy crap.
The bonus of this race compared to IMSA's six-hour race that was in September earlier in the month, there's not a lot of conflicts going on with a lot of these other drivers.
Right.
So
right.
You get these kind of lineups, which is great. I don't mind this at all.
No.
But yeah.
No. Hold on a second. Hold on.
We're holding.
Oh yeah. The doctor's racing. Valentino.
All right. It's got to do something in the time off between...
So the WEC race, right?
Yeah, the WEC race is between Fuji and Bahrain.
Jeez. Man, there is some stacked driver's lineups. Holy crap.
What else is there?
That's... What day is that?
I want to say Saturday.
Yeah. Yeah, I think it's Saturday. I think you're right. All right. Oh, yeah. I think it is Saturday because they don't want to run up against that. Wow. That's pretty cool. There are some good lineups in there.
Yep. It's Saturday.
It's Saturday. You're right. Okay.
There are some support races that are going on as well. There's the Toyota GR Cup. With the GR86.
Yeah, isn't that the one that Keanu Reeves ran in last year?
Yep. And then there's a touring car class and also a GT4.
There's a bunch of GT4, right?
Yeah, there's GT4. There's a McLaren Trophy race. So
wow.
Yeah.
Quite a bit of racing. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
In IndyCar, Rinus VK has joined Juncos Hollander Racing.
Yeah.
Kind of puts Connor in a interesting spot.
Yeah.
Because they haven't named a second driver at Juncos yet, but
no.
Everyone's saying that they're all saying that Stingray has the money, so.
Yeah.
It's... I don't really get this, but whatever. I would prefer it's Rinus and Connor.
Yes.
But
yeah. No, I agree with that.
I think that would be the stronger team.
Yeah.
So
just
but
whether or not you have the funding for it, that's a different question.
I mean, the other thing is, it's like Premier is still like in limbo because no one's sure if they're coming back.
Yeah.
Because there was the funding issue there, which I'm shocked in motorsports there's a funding issue.
Mm-hmm.
So kind of crazy on that. And then Ray Hall still hasn't kind of finalized its lineup. They tested Mick Schumacher yesterday.
Yep.
I believe did they test him today? No, it wasn't today. It was yesterday. It was a one-day test yesterday on the road course.
Mm-hmm.
Because they had to get the track ready for the 8 hour this weekend. That's right.
Yeah.
So get that going on. So that kind of puts Connor in a spot where he's out looking for rides. Hence, well, at least he ended up with a ride this weekend, which is cool.
Yeah.
We'll go from there.
I mean, other than that, I don't really have much, unless I'm missing something big, which could be.
Yeah. let's see. The saga of Zach Brown.
Oh, yeah. That, I mean, I know the court case is still going on, but I thought it wasn't going to get resolved until later on.
Now he's been caught doing stuff like deleting messages and stuff, and now he's like this, you know, he's on his typical you know, laughing at Pelo thing and all that. So this guy is such a clown. Anyways, pretty much had it with him. Let's just see, just checking.
Who knows? Maybe we'll see Christian Horner back in Papaya Warren. In Papaya.
Yeah, you could be running. Yeah, that'd be interesting. That would be kind of funny.
That would be.
All right. hold on a second. Just in case you are excited to know. How does the Formula One movie hit streaming on December 12th, and I actually bought it for $19 the other day on Apple?
I couldn't tell you.
Oh, all right. Well, here we go. I bought it for $20. It was like going to the movie again. So now I have it.
I still have yet to watch that movie.
All right. Yeah. Well, you should. It's actually pretty good.
Yeah.
If you have my Apple account, go right in.
That's right. I can
do it. All right, so now we're ready to discuss Formula One.
Yeah.
And COTA.
Mm-hmm.
We shall see if papaya rules are in effect.
I guess we need to see how the race unfolds anyways.
Yeah, we'll see how the practice goes.
Yeah, there's no weather this weekend. It's just gonna be hot.
Yep. Gotcha.
But I mean, obviously, it's gonna seem cooler compared to where they just came from, Singapore. So
yeah,
I'm sure they'll be fine.
All right. Should we just get into our picks?
I guess so. I mean, I really don't have anything more for this weekend, other than
I don't want to speculate.
I mean, we're now four races back from the summer break, and Max has outscored the McLarens.
Yes.
At each race. So.
Okay. That's all we need to know.
Yep. That gap is coming down. Now, whether it's coming down fast enough,
We shall see.
Yeah,
What happens if the two McLarens decide to occupy the same piece of asphalt on turn one this weekend?
If they try to define physics and be at the same place at the same time, all I can tell you is that at the space beyond where they will meet.
Yes.
I can tell you that neither one of them will occupy that space, and it will be Verstappen.
Max.
Yeah.
Okay.
not just physically, but also figuratively, he he will also be really inside their heads.
Yes. That's what I'm kind of thinking.
So I think any DNF for either of the McLaren drivers is bad.
It's fatal. Yeah.
Because now it makes the championship hunt that much more real for Max. And
right.
That's way scarier than where it currently sits.
Yep.
So I think that's this is the only thing I'll build off from last week that we had this discussion. As much as I would like to see gloves off between these two drivers and McLaren basically just to let the two tell their two drivers, like, have at it, do whatever you think you need to win the championship.
Yeah.
You also can't completely just, you know, wreck the car every weekend because Max is still there.
Yeah.
And for at least another week, maybe two, Leclerc is technically still in this fight, which also means that Russell is in this fight as well.
Fair point.
But, I mean, talk about a driver that could swoop in and steal points. Max is the one to do that.
Yep.
So,
all right. So, Nate has filed his picks from Parts Unknown.
Mm-hmm. Yep. He has gone with Max to win.
Which I'm not so sure about his next one.
I think everyone has been hopeful but disappointed when we make these kind of picks because he's gone with Leclerc for second, Piastri in third.
Yeah,
I would like to see Leclerc finish on the podium. I think it would be great, but it just hasn't gone that way. In the recent races, that's all. And then he's had Carlos Sainz as dark horse.
As dark horse, okay. I am going to go with Max also to win. So I'm going to put the curse on Max.
All right.
I am going to go with George to finish second.
All right.
And I am going to go with Kimi to finish third. I think he's on a roll.
He definitely is. Even if it's not third place, like I wouldn't be shocked to see if he got a top five.
So that's what I'm gonna go. And my dark horse, I am gonna go Fernando.
All right. I'm gonna do this a little bit backwards. I'm gonna go with Hadjar as my dark horse.
Ooh, I like that.
Third. I'm going to go Lewis.
Who has done well here.
Yep. And to not curse Max, by all of us picking him first, I'm actually going to leave him just off the podium and I'm going to go, it's a McLaren 1-2. And they've kind of put the rumors to rest about this championship. With Max being involved, and I'm going to say Lando wins, which would make Piastri second. So it just gets everyone all, oh, he's back into it. But that's not to say that it might be an easy win. It could be another controversial, you know, T1 contact that makes the win. So. All the teams seem to be really close to one another at this track over the past few years.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, even in 23, when Max had the dominant car, it wasn't a dominant. I mean, he won and led just about every lap except one, I think, at this race. But I mean, it wasn't like it was he trotted away. Like I think he had. Leclerc in his within 5 seconds of him or something like that, so or even 10 seconds, so it was it was still like if he made a mistake, it would have been detrimental. So
gotcha. All right, I like your picks. I'm hoping that you put the curse on the for McLaren boys.
It's kind of the hope.
I got my fingers crossed.
I'm still pulling for Max. I don't ever want to put him out of it, but I am also just that everyone is one bad mistake away from being off the podium.
Yeah.
So
you're looking for an angle.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
What'd you say, Ness? So F1's at COTA this weekend. NASCAR's at Martinsville.
Hold on. Yep. I have the rest of the race stuff here. ELMS is at Portimao for the finale.
Oh, very cool.
We mentioned IGTC at Indianapolis.
Mm-hmm.
MotoGP is at Phillip Island.
Yeah.
And then we got NASCAR at Talladega, and Kristen, I can't believe you forgot about this, but Super GT.
Oh, that's right. I don't have their calendar.
Atopolis.
That's very cool. And they, speaking of Super
did
GT,
you,
they,
did,
they released their
did
new
you what?
Honda Prelude.
I saw that thing. It looks badass.
Yeah. I mean, for a Prelude, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it's a pretty freaking cool car.
Yeah.
Kind of like it. Did you happen to catch Super Formula over the weekend?
I did not. I need to watch those, but I will get back.
Okay.
I will
Can you report back on that?
Yes. Because that is, right. it's a doubleheader at Fuji, and I just didn't.
Yeah.
I was
there
not
was a
awake
lot
at
going
hours.
On this weekend.
Yeah.
I hate to say it. Yeah.
Yeah. But anyway, so. Just one more note on MotoGP. This weekend's Phillip Island. Great track. But
yep.
Looking at their schedule, I'm also looking forward to next week, which is Sepang.
Another good track.
Yeah. Yep.
Yep.
So.
I believe, yeah. I'm just going to go back here and check this. If you bear with me 1 second.
Although ELMS had Portimao, that is
yep.
a quiet race.
Fantastic.
That would have gone under the radar given everything else that's going on this weekend. So I'm glad you picked up on that one.
Yep. Thank you. Hold on a second. I think Marquez is out of the race this weekend.
Yeah.
Because he had surgery. Oh, here it is. Hold on. Here it is. Yeah. Yeah, it's slight fracture and ligament damage. And Michel Piero will be subbing at Phillip Island. But he's already wrapped up the championship, so no harm, no foul here.
Yeah, that was the interesting that I thought that came across my mind. I was like, when he wins the championship and then sits out the next few races.
Well, no, he had a fall in Indonesia. So.
Yeah. I figured there was something more to it than just that. But yeah. All right.
Well, on that note,
good night. Thank you guys for listening to the Red Mist podcast, hosted by Christian Abbott, Sean Abbott, and Nathan Lavin. It's produced by Christian Abbott, and music is by Alex Wart and Harrison Tate.